Is entitled Nursing Education Without Boundaries, Blending the Art and Science of Teaching, where we will unpack some definitions of the art and science of teaching and explore the potential of blending the two so seamlessly that there are no discernible boundaries. And to help us today are Dr. Susan Fernaris and Dr. Mary Fay. Dr. Mary Fay is an associate dean for the BSN programs at George Washington University School of Nursing in Washington, D.C. And she's also a principal faculty at the Center for Medical Simulation in Boston, Massachusetts. Mary's areas of expertise include simulation, debriefing, and leadership, with a keen interest in creating teaching and learning experiences that lead to transformative learning. Dr. Susan Fernaris directs the Division for Innovation and Education Excellence at the National League for Nursing in Washington, D.C. Sue's teaching and leadership experience reaches national and global audiences as she partners with schools and organizations to develop nurse educators in contemporary, innovative, and evidence-based teaching strategies. Both of our guests partner to co-edit and author Critical Conversations, the NLN Guide for Teaching Thinking, and most recently, Critical Conversations from Monologue to Dialogue. Welcome, Mary and Sue. Thank you for joining us.
Just a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Michelle.
Mary Sue, we are so thrilled to have you here. I know I can speak for Michelle. You both have influenced me and my teaching and my philosophy so much. And every time I get to have a conversation with you, I learn so much more. So I'm excited for where our conversation is going to take us. And I would like us to get started right away with thinking about the science of teaching. So when we think about our listeners and our viewers, I think a lot of folks feel comfortable thinking about the science of nursing. But I don't think we spend a lot of time being intentional and thinking about the science of teaching. And I'm curious to hear what you both think about and perceive the science of teaching.
Mm-hmm. You want me to get started here, Sue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You know, so Rachel and Michelle, thanks so much for having us here to talk about such an interesting topic. You know, I love, Rachel, that you drew the parallel between our nursing practice and our practice as educators, because I think as nurses, we think all the time about evidence-based practice. We want to make sure that the interventions that we're doing are based on science. And yet, when it comes to teaching, what I find at nursing schools everywhere is that often we're using teaching techniques that were the same ones that were used when we were nursing students. And so we don't seem to have such a concern with evidence-based teaching, I think quite as much as we should. And there's been so much research in the past decade or two decades about, you know, cognitive science and how people learn best. And the evidence is out there. And I certainly would like to see it incorporated much more than it is.
So yeah, you know, as you say that, it made me think of something, Mary. You know, you said, unfortunately, as educators, we often teach as we were taught, but we don't nurse as we were nursed, because many of us really had never been in that space. And so what makes us good nurses? And so sometimes in my teaching, I think about that. I try to think about the science. There's a science to it, just, and maybe it's ingrained at being a nurse. There's a science to nursing. There's an art to nursing, the same as teaching. It's a discipline. It has a body of knowledge, and there is a way in which one delivers their teaching that makes it an art. And perhaps that's because that was ingrained in me as a nurse in mm-hmm. my, you know, we came to nursing at a time when And this is what resonates with me so much that we don't see as much, unfortunately. We came to nursing at a time when nursing theory was becoming the main thrust of the literature. Nurses who were, and the argument at the time was trying to establish the body of knowledge. What is nursing? What separates us from medicine? What separates us from pharmacy? All these other disciplines that live in the same space as nursing. And so you were ingrained to understand that what you did at the bedside or in the home or out in the community had a distinct science attached to it. And I think that's how I think of teaching. You know, where we now are educators, but the people that we serve are no longer patients, they're our students. So I come to that space with knowing that I'm in a discipline that has a science guiding what I'm trying to achieve. And there's an art in the way in which I deliver that, mm-hmm. that science. I don't know if that resonates with you, but
it does. And you know, when you were talking, it makes me think of something that I guess I could call my rally cry. I'm not sure if you'd call it a rally cry, but it's this move of this paradigm shift from nurses who teach to educators who teach nursing. And it is a fundamental difference. And I would love to see us as a profession to make that shift.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, you know, it's a real identity issue. I like the way you said that, Rachel, because I think that often when we teach, we hang on to our clinical identities for a long time because we're really proud of them. I'm really proud of the fact that I was an ICU, bedside ICU nurse for 15 years. I love that. And yet that's not the main thrust of what I do now. And so I need to sort of shift my identity, you know, and then as we take on this new identity, of course, we want that to be strong and positive and, you know, in keeping with modern science. And so that is a really nice sort of impetus to open people's minds to the idea that there really is a science to teaching.
You know, I often, when I'm talking to nurse educators and thinking about my own practice of teaching, there is so much in parallel between our practice as a nurse and our practice as teachers. And I often say, you know, to help people make that parallel, I'll share, you know, when you were a nurse, you didn't just walk in the room and say, heart failure, and just go load the patient up with Lasix and whatever. You know, you went in there, you listened to lung sounds, you looked for edema, you looked at the labs, you gathered information to help inform your next step, whether to call the provider, whether to administer the Lasix or to not, right? And all of that had to inform a decision. And I think in teaching, it's very much the same way. When we lead with open-ended questions and when we lead with curiosity and gather data, it can help us make a better, more informed teaching decision.
It's like formative assessment. As nurses, we're continually doing formative assessment. So you think about the nursing process, assess is the very first step. We seem to have lost that when we come into the classroom. Assessment goes out the window, which is really kind of unfortunate in many ways. You know, I think the other piece that has become very clear as we do more intensive teaching at the NLN in our faculty intensives is that we're flipping this notion of teaching, you know, coming into the classroom to teach with teaching in mind, to shifting it to teaching with learning in mind. And that takes the educator off the stage.
Right.
It, you know, and you almost have to make that fundamental shift to understand that my role is when I walk into the classroom, the science is I need to know that the three main objectives I have for the time that we're in this space together, I'll be able to discern whether or not you achieve them. As opposed to I'm going in because I have to deliver a message.
Deliver the content. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we often joke around. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, I said, and what a relief, you know, that you can walk out of the classroom and be like, job done. Uh-huh. That's the outcomes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We often say, "Your," well, I should say, I say, "Your PowerPoint is not your lesson plan." And the minute you let go of that thing that is, you know, going to be your focus, I have to deliver this PowerPoint, you begin to understand that there is a science to this, and a bigger goal.
I'd like to dig into this shift to learner focused for a second, because we're in a time where the cognitive load of a lot of educators is about the new AACN essentials, the next gen NCLEX starting 2023 and beyond, a lot of changes. And so folks are, I think, thinking about how do they shift their teaching? How do they make these big science-based teaching changes to help bring their learners to where they need them to be? And so I'm curious to hear from you all, how can learners, or teachers, actually educators, help learners meet those changes without totally overburdening faculty and thinking about how they change the way they teach?
Boy, you know, there's the mountain we have to climb here in the next couple of years, I think, in undergraduate nursing education. Rachel, I think you hit the nail right on the head. You know, I think that the way of teaching, you know, the delivering of the PowerPoint lectures, you know, to some degree, because we're dealing with novice learners, there is a time to be the sage on the stage because they don't know what we know. And so sometimes being teacher-centered is actually being learner-centered. Like, I've got to deliver some content. I think the important thing is to think about, you know, where do you get the most bang for your educational buck? And I think learners get the most bang for their educational buck when we, like, let go of rigid structures and learn to do what Michelle and Sue have advocated, which is seek first to understand what's going on in the mind of our learners. And so in a practical way, what does that look like? Take those PowerPoints that are to some degree necessary, put them online. Let your learners look at that. Stop assigning 4 chapters to read. They're not going to do it anyway. Well, okay, maybe some will. Assign the chapters. But deliver content online as the prep for the class. And when they're in the classroom with you, that needs to be a less structured approach to learning. And, you know, Rachel, I will never forget a class that you and I did together all those years ago. It made such an impression on me, where the idea was that the students were supposed to watch a video from the previous semester of the content being delivered. And then we were going to come in and do a case study about renal failure. And Rachel had asked me to be the guest lecturer that day, and I came in. And so I started doing the case study, you know, thinking that they had watched the video and they were all doing great. They were very engaged. They were, you know, meeting the objectives. And in the course of conversing with the students, what I found was that the video for some reason wasn't operational or wasn't posted and they never saw it. But what that taught me was students can learn while doing. They don't have to like have the vessel filled and then apply it, the learning and the application and the evaluation of learning, it can all happen at the same time. But the key is that the educator has to be in there really connecting with the students as they work in their groups to make sure that they're understanding what they're doing and why they're doing it. And I think if we set that bar really high for our learners, they meet it every single time without us having to handhold all along the way. People learn differently. And I think when we remove some of the structures and let people just start to grapple with material, we see how they learn. So I see that this one needs, you know, XYZ for me, and this one needs ABC for me to get the job done. And so, you know, I think let go of the structures, stop with the static content. When your learners are with you, they need your brain and they need the freedom for their brains to move around so that everybody can make those connections in the way that works best for them.
Yeah. Well, it's teaching them to use the content.
Exactly.
I mean, you and I always say that it's not about the content, because you can't go into, you know, I've had this conversation also with Dr. Chris Dreyfuss, who often makes an analogy to say that, you know, a nurse is not going to walk into a patient's room and they're going to pull out a card when the nurse asks, you know, a multiple choice question so you can spew out the content. It's really about how do I use the content that I'm supposed to be learning? And if we spent more time putting together strategies in the classroom that help immerse them in using the content, what more fun can that be to create those learning moments for them? And that creates the opportunity for them to ask questions and us to ask questions and get into a dialogue, because they want to know how you think about it and how you're seeing things. And many times those are the aha moments for our learners. And so I agree with you, Mary. It's really about creating a different structure in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I would add too, I think a lot of pushback we hear from faculty who tried this out say, oh, well, the students won't buy into this, or they won't come prepared, or they don't really engage. And I think a huge piece of this recipe is the psychological safety and the safe container mm-hmm. around that. So going back, Mary, to that example of our class so long ago when the PowerPoint, the lecture didn't get posted, and I shouldn't say lecture, but it was a multimedia presentation that mm-hmm. didn't get posted before, they came in and they were willing to lean into the discomfort of the learning stretch because they perceived the environment was safe. There wasn't any gotchas. There wasn't any smoke and mirrors. There wasn't any bait and switch. Right. It was truly a safe place to take learning risks and vulnerability. So mm-hmm. I think that's another important component to making this shift in structure.
Absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, we talk about the art and the science of teaching, and you know, you just mentioned psychological safety, Rachel. I think that sort of stands in both camps, because there is a science to psychological safety. We know the things that we should do to create a psychologically safe learning environment. We know from research from Amy Edmondson, we know from research from Google, the benefits of psychological safety. And so that's the science part. The art part of psychological safety is that before you can follow those evidence-based practices for psychological safety, you first have to make the switch in your head. You know, you first have to incorporate into your heart the philosophy that your learners are intelligent, well-intended people who are motivated to learn and who sincerely want to get better. You've got to see them through that lens, or that, you know, the steps you take and the words you say to create a safe environment are meaningless, because there has to be an authenticity, a sincerity behind that, or it won't work. So I think that. Yeah, go ahead, Sue.
They can read that. That's exactly what you're saying. I mean, coming into a space for learning, keenly holding your learners as if they were your patients. You know, mm-hmm. I'm here for you to create the best outcome possible. Patients know when you're being straight with them. Learners know when you're being mm-hmm. straight with them. We know. I mean, you got to give them more credit than that. They can see through all of that the same way your patients can see through your disingenuous nursing. And so you learned right away from the very beginning about what it means to have a patient-centered approach, to have that true therapeutic relationship. It's the same thing with our learners. You know, if you really have them with their best interest in mind, they're gonna meet you where you're at as mm-hmm. you meet them where they're at. So there's that authentic, genuine, I really am here for you. And you can say the words, but it doesn't mean that you're delivering it.
And you know, Rachel, I also think that I want to pick up on one other thing you said, because I hear nursing professors say this. I hear nursing professors say, well, they don't want that kind of thing. They just want us to lecture and tell them what's on the test. You know, and I think that they have that expectation because that's what their history with education has been. And so I think an important part of psychological safety and just an important part for priming your learners for this type of learning is you have to acknowledge that with them. You got to be straight with them, you know, and I'm hoping that next semester I'm going to be doing that here in a course and kind of really working on flipping the classroom a little bit more. But you have to tell them, look, guys, this is how we're going to learn. It's going to be different. It's not what you're used to. Here's how you're going to have to prepare. Here's the benefits of learning this way. And so I think we need to be really explicit if we're going to change up the way we teach so that our learners are ready to go on the ride with us. And I generally find that they are.
Well, and you have to set that from the very beginning. I mean, right. You know, you have to live it out in every class, every time that you're in that space together, you have to bring that mm-hmm. with you. But the first day of class, instead of reading through the syllabus and covering the what you're going to get an A for and what you're going to get dinged on, I mean, you really, a lot of faculty sort of set this hard tone at the beginning. There's another way to do that is to set the the trajectory. Here's how class works, and it is going to be different. And this mm-hmm. is, you know, you set the expectation from the very beginning in a way that invites them into a new adventure and a new way to learn.
Mm-hmm. I love that teaching philosophy. I will share an elevator speech version of my teaching philosophy with my learners so they understand why the learning space is set up the way that it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I think the more transparent we are with our learners, the better off. You know, it's just like simulation. You know, if you tell the learners what the environment is going to be like and how they should operate in the environment and what they can expect, and we go over roles and expectations, learners are willing to go anywhere with us in simulation. And why would the classroom be any different?
We want to be conscious of our time boundaries, and this conversation could go on, and it will. We will pick up with our conversation with Dr. Mary Fay and Dr. Susan Frenaris on our next episode. We hope you can join us next time with the Nursing Edge Unscripted Surface Podcast. Until then, be well.